Welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air. I'm your host, Vernon Jones, the Free Spirit. ABOFA is a topic-driven program featuring talk, interviews, music, and more. Today's show deals with finding and following your bliss, doing that which is uniquely fulfilling and satisfying to you. Some people are fortunate to find a calling early in life. Some spend a lifetime looking for it but never finding it. I was fortunate enough to find my way to music early on. My mom purchased my first musical instruments as Christmas presents. My brother and I got guitars and soon started our first band with friends. Suffice it to say that they are some of my favorite childhood memories. Back then, the sounds coming from my room and reverberating through the house were not the sweet, dulcet tones of today. I had no idea where those experiences would lead. Looking back, it seems inevitable. My talent was doing impressions of famous people. They must have been pretty good. I got thunderous applause from an auditorium full of high school kids. That's all it took, and I was on my way. Though I wasn't naturally gifted at playing an instrument, persistence and determination helped to develop the necessary skills for a rewarding and satisfying career. I'm eternally grateful that my mom was supportive and never discouraged me. I've often said that other than a professional athlete, being a musician is the only occupation I know that when you go to work, they call it playing. At its worst, it's the best job I've ever had. But this show is gaining ground. In the words of Shakespeare from Hamlet, when Polonius speaks to his son Laertes and says, "This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not be false to any man." Being true to yourself is the best gift you can give yourself. The wonder of this concept has been an inspiration that I embrace wholeheartedly. It's been a motivation for most of my life. Although it took some time to penetrate the deepest layers of my soul, it is and has been my steadfast truth. Being self-reliant, our special guest tells us how he merged an interest with necessity. In a little bit, we'll speak with Derek Kleinfelter, who will share his mechanical perspective. He also found his joy early in life and has made a successful career and profitable side hustle from it. You may say he's doing what makes him happy. What makes you happy? Think about that, and we'll be right back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Friends to you, don't waste your time. Here's why.
Listening to A Breath of Fresh Air on Whole World Radio. I'm your host, Vernon Jones, the Free Spirit. For comments, questions, or suggestions to this program, send an email to breathoffreshairwwr@gmail.com. Thoreau says, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears the beat of a different drum. Let him march to the tempo he hears, however measured or far away. I have often felt out of step with my surroundings, but my music has always seen me through the best and worst of times. May you find your bliss and that it does the same for you. With the success of radio and TV shows like Car Talk, Top Gear, Jay Leno's Garage, YouTube, and others, Do It Yourself has found a growing audience. AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, NAPA, and others help make do-it-yourself auto repair projects possible and is a great way to save money. Derek Kleinfelter is a professional auto mechanic whose special skills were developed from an early age. His vocational education is in construction, but problem-solving mechanical issues is his forte. He's bought, repaired, and sold a number of projects that has earned him a nice profit. His skill, talent, and interests are the reasons for this interview and episode on self-reliance and following your bliss. Due to internet connection issues, this interview was edited for continuity. Did you have any special training for being a master mechanic?
Yeah, I didn't particularly go to school for it. Most of it's pretty much self-taught. A lot of reading and hands-on, you know, figuring it out. I did take a couple tests for ASE certifications, you know, studied for them and took those tests to get certified for certain things. But as far as schooling, yeah, not really too much schooling. Actually went to school for construction and...
So you genuinely are a good do-it-yourself kind of an individual. You learn what you needed to learn from reading books and assume watching other people, right?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. You know, the only thing I went to school for, I don't know if that part got that part, was residential construction.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so I did go to school for that, but any other aspect of anything that I do is, for the most part, self-taught or taught from others, just from working alongside with people. And, you know, mechanics, I've always been into that. You know, from a kid, I'd pick up lawnmowers and stuff off the side of the road and take five and make one good one and, you know, sell it for a couple bucks. Or, you know, I see a junk dirt bike sitting on the side of a house for forever and a day. And one day I just knock on the door and say, hey, you know, you willing to get rid of that? And believe it or not, more times than not, people say, yeah, sure, get it out of here. I'm tired of looking at it. And, you know, I didn't really have money to pay somebody to get. I decided to just dig into it and figure it out and try to get them running. And that's how I ended up getting into, you know, ATVs and dirt bikes. Then after the lawnmower side of it. And then I got it, started getting into cars, and, you know, I couldn't really afford to pay people to fix my car. So I had to figure out how to do it myself. And next thing you know, can you do it for me? Hey, can you do that for me too? And then I decided to, you know, start doing it for a living, and kind of just spiraled from there.
Well, you sure and, gave
and me- anything mechanical or.
Yeah, you sure gave me some help with trees. Remember last summer when we got the storm and you happened to have a saw, the chainsaw. And so, I mean, I get the value of it. In fact, conversations with you is what kind of encouraged me to try to do as much more of it as I can, because everybody is not good at everything, but you can, if you have a desire and a will to learn something, that's not going to be a problem for you, as you have very aptly proven. So why don't you, I was going to get into trying to figure out something more about where it came from, that you got this original sense of fixing things yourself, but it looks like you got some projects going on around you that might be interesting for people to know something about.
Okay. Projects.
Yeah.
Okay. Which projects?
anyone you want to talk about. I mean, the one you're most proud of, the one that you, I mean, there are lots of things, and they don't need to hear me talk about what you do and what you've done or, how about this? Let's start with what is the one of the most proud projects, DIY projects that you've done.
Sure.
Tell me about it.
Well, boy, that's a hard one. Visual difference, you know. I bought it. It was wrecked. I completely changed the look of it. From a body line standpoint, you know, I got rid of a lot of different body parts and added different ones with different shapes and whatnot, like the fenders and whatnot. Did a nice pearl, 3-stage pearl paint job on it. Some slim, cool looking LED lights or tail lights and. Nice white wall tires. I'm pretty proud of that one, how that came out, and they get an astronomical amount of compliments on that. So that's always feels good, you know, and absolutely. Somebody praises your work.
Sure.
That's one.
Believe it or not, you sort of cut out at the very beginning of what it was that was the project. Can you tell me what that project was again from at the beginning?
My motorcycle, my Harley Davidson.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that was a pretty big visual difference from where it started and where it came, you know, what it came to be. That's like a lot of things, like the golf cart that we have up the campground. You know, we basically drug that thing out of the weeds. I mean, if anybody else would have looked at it and said, well, let's just take that to the junkyard. But I saw something in it, even though it was just basically a carcass, and rebuilt that from the ground up. And, that one came out pretty good too. Get a lot of compliments on that.
Yeah. I've ridden in that a couple times. But you got another one and fixed that too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now we have two up there. Well, I mean, it fixed a lot of golf carts, but two up there that we've decided to keep. There's actually two more projects right there.
Oh, okay.
In the works, that's one.
Yeah,
there's another one. Okay. And then I got my race car on the lift there.
Yeah,
so always something going.
That's awesome. Now tell me about the race car. You were supposed to race on Saturday, but it got rained out.
Sunday.
Were you always interested in racing, or how did that come about?
No, actually, I don't want to say I was always interested in it. I mean, I've always been, you know, I like to go fast kind of guy. You know, even with the dirt bikes and stuff, I used to race around through the woods and you know, we'd make jumps in our own little tracks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then I kind of got into four-wheeling, and I stuck with that for a while. I mean, I still enjoy four-wheeling, but it kind of beat you up pretty good. And just finding the time just to go drive off into the abyss. Okay. It's a little difficult now, you know.
Sure.
But no, I mean, I've never really had an interest in watching racing like NASCAR. I went to one NASCAR race, and, you know, a lot of people are probably going to say, what kind of American am I? But I kind of get bored with it, you know. You watch them zoom, 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 and then there's nothing. And zoom, zoom, zoom. You know, I would love to be in the driver's seat, hands down. I would love that more than anything. I think that's the neatest thing ever. But to just watch it, I get bored, you know. I want to do it. I don't want to watch it, you know.
Like I said, the quintessential do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
So since you were scheduled to race, can you tell me something about the car itself and the race?
So the racing I got involved in is actually my cousin Ray got me into it. He's been doing it for a couple years now, and he's been trying to get me to do it with him. And finally this year, I bit. I said, all right, let's do it. So I think this was like a Friday. He called me up. They say, hey, listen, you want to race? We got a race next weekend. He says, I got a car for you if you want. You don't have to do some work to it, but if you want to race, you know, we're good to go. I said, all right, well, sure. And then I went down, and the car that he had that was kind of ready to go was pretty beat. Mm-hmm. But he had another one that was, the interior was already gutted, but nothing else was done.
Okay.
I said, well, he said, you want that one? You could have that one too. So I decided, all right, well, I'll let's tackle it, you know.
Sure.
So I went and bought 80 feet of roll cage tubing and started bending up all the tubing and welding it all together and fabricating my own roll cage, put the racing seat in there and the 5-point harness, set the suspension to you know, the alignment to work well with the track. Mm-hmm. Just got in the car and did my first race. First race was brutal. It was an extremely hot day. Really, really hot. Probably one of the hottest days we had this summer. And, you know, here I am in a full fire suit with jeans on underneath. That was a mistake.
Okay.
full fire suit, you know, and you got the neck brace on and then the helmet and gloves and all. So I was pretty hot. It wasn't too bad. I mean, it was bad, but it was a little bit better when we were moving.
Sure.
We got red flagged a couple times. We had to stop and then just sitting there in a hot car with no insulation, no interior. The car's running, the heat's coming up, and it just got brutal. First race, I spun out. I think I made a 75 laps out of 100, and I got spun out into the infield, and I had a hard time getting the car to start back up. So I didn't get to complete that one. And then the second race, I learned a lot. Like the seat that I had was no good. It was a racing seat, but it wasn't good for what I was doing.
Okay.
It just had some side bolstering for your hips, but there wasn't anything for your upper torso. You planted in place. So, I mean, I was grabbing a hold of the shifter with a death grip going around every corner, and I thought I was going to rip the shifter out of the floor just trying to stay put, you know.
Yeah.
So I was putting more focus into staying planted in my seat than I was able to do into you know, tactical driving.
I got you. Yeah.
So then before the next race, I went and I bought a full containment racing seat with, you know, big bolstering comes up, almost starts to wrap around the front of you on the sides. Comes way up high to, you know, up to your waist side on the bottom. Night and day.
Okay.
Night and day. I was able to put all my focus into driving.
Yeah.
I think that was 17 cars, I believe, was in that race. 3 laps to go, I bent the strut. So my suspension was pretty mangled. I managed to come in 6th place.
Wow.
So getting better.
There you go. How many races have you been in so far?
Just the 2 so far.
Oh,
so.
Just okay. Well, so this is new to you too.
Absolutely.
And, are you thinking of doing more different? How do you feel about your prospects for the future doing racing? The race Derek referenced that was rained out and postponed was rescheduled. I attended that race and interviewed him again. Part 2 of this interview will air on a future episode of A Breath of Fresh Air. Can you tell me something about where your first inclination about being able to fix things came from? I know your dad's a mechanic, so was it watching him? Was it something that What was your first experience like to realize, oh, I can fix things?
Probably bicycles.
Okay.
It probably started out with bicycles and scooters.
Okay.
Again, same thing, you know, spring cleanup time, we'd see some bike parts or junk bikes or whatever on the side of the road and decided, hey, maybe I could put some of these together and make myself a nice bike, you know, and because I was in the, you know, trick riding and stuff like that, BMX. So probably started with that. You know, I just dove into it. You know, my cousins were in a bike, so I kind of watched them work on them here and there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I got some parts for myself and just started taking nuts and bolts out and putting parts from one thing to another thing. And it just kind of worked out. I don't really know how to explain it. Just I put my mind to doing it and I did it. I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes along the way, you know, but you learn from your mistakes and you improve your skill set. And nobody's perfect. Can't do everything right the first time. But if you're willing to give it a shot and give it a go, then, you know, sooner or later, you're going to get it down.
Yeah, you got to fail in order to succeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In a sense, I mean, you know, it's the only, I should have said, you got to learn, you have to fail. Because then, you know, you get to learn something different than you have to change your approach. All right. I got a question for you. And this is just because I was thinking about you. Over the summer, I have a friend in Virginia and I called you about him. He's been wanting to get rid of his boat because, you know, he doesn't get to use it anywhere near as much as he wanted to. He actually did get to sell it, by the way. It might have been the same weekend that I called you. You know, I guess he got the inspiration that it was time for it to go. Anyway, I called you about it because I thought, well, you know, this may be something that's down your alley and your lane. We're in Pennsylvania, so, you know, I understand there's a difference, but what was it that went into the decision that I don't doubt that you would have been able to repair the boat, but what made you decide not to take that on as a challenge?
For one, like you said, Pennsylvania, it's not that you can't sell a boat, but it's not quite as easy as selling it where you're on a lake or by the ocean.
Right.
Close to the ocean. So it would be a little bit harder to get a turnaround on. Not that you can't, so you'd have to wait a little bit longer. And I believe at that time, we just purchased, I believe it was like 13 golf carts right around that time. So we had our hands full with that stuff. So we plate was already pretty full at that time. For once in my life, I made the choice to not bite off more than I could chew, which I tend to do quite a bit, but, you know, we get through it. That was pretty much what played a factor in that, though, the long-term resale about, you know, it would take a while to turn it around and get a return on investment, and just a lot of other things going on. That's one thing when I do buy stuff to sell, stuff to fix, to sell, whatever, I always try to buy, for one, I try to buy smart. I try to buy it to, like, let's use a car, for example. Say I'm looking at a wrecked car. Mm-hmm. I try to look at that car and with a quick evaluation, what's it going to take to fix it? What parts can I see right off the bat that it needs? And then I try to work up a price on how much the parts cost to fix it, figure in a little bit of labor. And then I decide, well, how much that leaves us that I could pay for the car and then still turn a profit. And then if it turns out that, you know, okay, I figured it's going to take $2,000 to put this car back together, but the frame could be cracked somewhere where I didn't see it, couldn't see it at the scrap, you know, at the auction lot. Mm-hmm. And it might turn out that car is not repairable or, you know, it's more than it's worth to repair it. I try to make sure that if that does happen, I could still strip the car, sell the parts off and recoup my investment at a minimum.
Okay. So there's a lot of thought that goes into the approach for the projects you do. I guess a lot of that came from the experience of trial and error.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've definitely burned myself before. Say, oh, you know, this is worth this. It's only going to take this to fix it. Next thing you know, a $200 fix turns into a $600 fix. And after I sell it, I only lost $200, you know. So I try not to let that happen. I try to make it to at the very least, I could eat my labor and recoup my cash investment by, you know, selling off parts or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
As far as stuff like that goes.
Like what you do, would you go far as to say as you love what you do?
I couldn't picture myself doing much of anything else.
Yeah.
As far as like a desk job, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, there's going to be a point in my life where, you know, that's all my body's going to allow me to do. Mm. But while I'm still ticking, I'm still going, I'm going to stay hands-on as much as I possibly can. I get bored quick, I guess I could say. You know, I'm not one to sit around. I don't like sitting around. I like to stay busy.
Where do you get a lot of your leads from for things that you're going to, projects you're going to take on? I mean, they're not all automotive, although that's the bulk of them. Sometimes you have other projects that just goes to your ability to fix things.
Yeah. Word of mouth. Sometimes, you know, people just know me and they know a lot of my capabilities, and they might have, let's say, a problem with something that they think, well, that might be something Derek can tackle. Mm-hmm. So they ask me, you know, if it's something I feel comfortable doing, then, you know, I'll sure say why not and give it a go and help them out. So a lot of stuff seeks me out. Okay. More than you would believe.
I called you on you a number of times for just different things, and some things I managed to figure out my own self as a consequence of, you know, our relationship and knowing what you do. Okay. Say I'm looking to make sure that in the process of this conversation, whoever's listening, and they may want to know something about how to do what you do, not only as it relates to automobiles, but, you know, since that's one of your areas of expertise, what kind of advice do you have to offer someone who's interested in developing the ability to do what you do?
I will say, just don't be afraid to take a chance. You know, if you don't try, you'll never know.
Right.
Don't be afraid to fail. You know.
Okay.
Success takes fail. Oh, if you do, then do it. You know, don't ever underestimate yourself.
Right.
Don't second guess yourself. I try not to second guess myself. You know,
yeah.
Something I think, if I think this is the answer, then I'm going to try to stick with that. You know.
Yeah,
I've learned a lot over the years that if I second guess myself, usually my first inkling was the right one.
Okay. All right.
And don't be foolish either. You know, don't drop a lot of money on a project that you haven't had any experience with that type of thing. You know, start off small, a little less inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just repairing something for yourself that you already own, you know, like say your stove breaks and you decide you want to tackle it yourself, do some research. You know, the internet's a wonderful thing now. You know, it wasn't that way when I started out. You know, I just had to kind of figure things out or ask questions from people I know or in that type of a field or might have the knowledge that I'm looking for. But don't be afraid to try it, you know.
Sure.
Double check yourself.
You're not telling people to go and pull a stove apart without turning off the gas, and if it is gas, or you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
Make sure people are aware to be careful. Don't tackle more than you can chew, but don't be afraid to try something that you haven't done before, and seek the someone who's got some experience or knowledge or background in whatever it is that you're trying to repair. Or fix, but just don't be afraid to try it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I got maybe one or two questions. You've been great, by the way. You've been, you know, you're this is awesome that you were willing and able to be able to do this. So I want you to know how much I appreciate it. Let's see. Well, we got that one. I'm just checking. I'm looking to see if there are any, challenges that you've had, like you were mentioning earlier. What were some challenges, lessons that you've learned? I guess that's that's the best category to put this under. What lessons from your own DIY self-reliant experiences have you learned?
I'd say the biggest one is nobody's better than the next person. I don't know if I'm going to word this the right way, but if there's, and this has been a factor through everything, if there's something that I need done, I might not necessarily have the skill set for it, but I'm willing to try it. I always look at things and, you know, this might not be the case for everybody. You know, I mean, everybody's different, but I always look at something that if he can do it, why can't I learn to do it? Yeah. I'm afraid to try anything.
Yeah.
There isn't anything that I'm afraid to try. That's just the biggest thing. If he can do it, why can't I? You know, or if she can do it, why can't I?
They learn
that skill set, you know what I mean? So why can't I learn it too?
You know, you're an inspiration to me. And I've said this to you before, because that attitude lends itself to making life a lot better. How do you think being self-reliant and having your particular skill set improve the quality of your life? I know some of it, but I figured this would be a great way for you to at least, you know, toot your own horn.
I've managed to land a pretty good job with decent pay, mm-hmm. and managed to be able to do a lot of side projects also to increase my income. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it allows me to afford, let's say, creature comforts, you know, as like motorcycles and ATVs and a camper at a campground. And, you know, it allows me to do a lot more than if I just worked a basic job, I would never be able to do. Or, you know, even like having a Harley Davidson, if I didn't know what I know and do what I do, I would never be able to just go buy one, mm-hmm. you know, but I bought a broken one, fixed it up. And, you know, now I have a nice bike. We have a nice camper. We have a nice house, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And any final words you'd like to share with our audience with regard to being self-reliant, being you?
Don't be afraid, you know, know your limit, extend your knowledge and don't be afraid to try things.
Okay. I'm here. I heard you. Don't be afraid to try things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different thing for me. I've never been interviewed, so to say, you know?
Well, listen, once again, thank you so very much for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. I will keep you in the loop and let you know more about this as it unfolds. And, you know, we'll see each other around the horn. So
sounds good.
Thank you so very much for joining me today. I appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in to A Breath of Fresh Air here on Whole World Radio. I'm your host, Vernon Jones, also known as the Free Spirit. On today's playlist, we have We Are One from Frankie Beverly and Maze, Sex in a Pan from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones featuring Victor Wooten. He actually wrote this particular cut. Mulberry Street from Larry Carlton. Video from India Ari. And Yamo Be There from James Ingram. Relax and enjoy the music, and we'll be back in a bit.
Oh, Thank you. Sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to A Breath of Fresh Air on Whole World Radio. Tune in tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for another episode. You can also listen on demand. We'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts and feedback. Contact us at abreathoffreshair@wwr.gmail.com or on Facebook at Whole World Radio. Stay tuned. This is Vernon Jones, the Free Spirit, wishing you a stellar day and a breath of fresh air.